Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for There Is Life After Layoff radio show. Are you a writer who struggles with creating content? Better yet, as a writer, do you struggle with a fear of failure or with finding your own voice? Or do you aspire to become a writer but just don't know where or how to get started? If you answered yes to one or all of these questions, then I encourage you to stay tuned. I'm Allie, the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember that I'm not here to point fingers at or to place the blame on my former employers or colleagues, but what I am here to do is to face my own truths as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. And along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. The goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And once again, I say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, of course, you know that this show works because of you, our faithful listeners. You help to drive the show, and that is why we always want to hear from you. So with that said, if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation by making a positive comment, or if you want to ask our guest a question, I invite you to call in. You can reach us at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. But please remember that you only have to press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And we will begin taking your calls right after our break at around 7:30. And I certainly do look forward to hearing from you. So now we're ready to get started. And you know what? I was fortunate to meet tonight's guest at a very extraordinary networking mixer that was hosted by another woman of purpose. And at this moment, I'm going to give a shout-out to Cheryl Green. I hope you're listening. Cheryl has a heart for helping not only new but also aspiring entrepreneurs to get connected with other entrepreneurs as well as get connected to valuable resources to help them grow their businesses. And I am sure that my guests will concur that we instantly gravitated towards one another. And she will also have to agree that there was an instant connection once we started talking. So I am so excited for you to meet and get to know her. Therefore, it is certainly without further ado that I welcome to There Is Life After Layoff, Melissa Kelsey, writer, blogger, and founder of the MK Writers Block website and the MK Writers Block Facebook group. Welcome, Melissa. Thank you for joining me this evening.
Hi, Allie. Thank you for having me. It is such a pleasure and exciting and right on point about everything with meeting, and thanks, Cheryl. Shout out to Cheryl.
Yes.
It has just been extraordinary from day one, so just awesome. Awesome.
Yes, I am so looking forward to this conversation that I know is going to bless a multitude of people. But you know what? Before we get started in the heart of our conversation, Melissa, why don't you take a moment to share a little bit about yourself with our listeners? Help us get to know who you are.
Sure. For some reason, that question is always hard. I'm so used to I love being in the background and being, you know, incognito.
Right.
But my name is Melissa Kelsey. I am a full-time single mom to an awesome high school freshman, my son Demetrius. And I'm from Georgia, born and raised in Georgia, and I've been in Atlanta for a combined total almost 10 years now. And I came here starting in college, moved back home back and forth, and I said, I've got to stay in Atlanta. I love it. So I'm here now,
right.
and I've just met such amazing people along my journey here. So and that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I'm a writer. I used to not call myself a writer, but I am a writer. Anyone
there
that can put
go.
A pen in their hand and grab a piece of paper or pull out a keyboard and on a computer, you are a writer. So I am too. And if you feel the same way or questioning that, you're a writer as well. So listen.
Right, exactly. You and I, we've had that conversation before, and I'm sure we're going to kind of get a little bit into that a little bit later in the show. But absolutely, a lot of people have, they struggle with that. Am I a writer? But, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know,
yeah.
I always want to connect my guests to my journey and, of course, with There Is Life After Layoff, which began after I was unexpectedly laid off from my corporate job. And, it's been my journey of peace in the midst of a storm. So I always want to engage my guests and find out from them, have you or anyone that you know ever been impacted by the impact of a layoff, whether it be forced or self-imposed? And if so, please explain that.
Yes, I've actually had the experience with both. My first experience was my company layoff. Back in 2004, I worked for Rhodes Furniture, and I was fortunate enough, I started in the Atlanta headquarters, and because of life situations with divorce and having, you know, taking care of a toddler, I had to move home. So I was fortunate enough to relocate, to move back home and work at one of the local retail stores right outside of my hometown. So in moving back there, unfortunately, during the housing and stock market crisis we had in the early 2000s, unfortunately, Rhodes succumb to that, because if you're not selling houses, you're not going to need furniture for a house.
Exactly, exactly, right.
So the company closed in 2004. And at first it was, at first I thought, why is this happening? And it was just a string of unfortunate events that kept happening.
Right.
But in hindsight, and even not too long after that happened, I saw the silver lining in that. It's not for the issues that and the circumstances that allowed me to move back home. I would have been in Atlanta when the company closed instead of close to home and with family and taking care of my son and, you know, not having to worry about a roof over my head and scrambling. So everything, I've always believed everything happens for a reason, and my ability, God allowing me to get back to my hometown before the layoff happened, before the bankruptcy happened, was a true blessing. And it actually set the ground for me to start rebuilding my life. It was slow, and that was part of me making it slow, but it was an opportunity nonetheless.
Right. That's a testimony of how sometimes, God always knows the plan that he has for our lives, and we don't know it right off when we're going through. But he knows what's going to be the outcome always, and we just have to trust and know that he's going to work it out for us. And so while you were in the midst of that, you didn't understand, but he knew that he was bringing you back home for a reason, you know.
Right.
And we just have to trust and know that he always knows what's going to happen.
Right.
And it's when we fight against that we get into trouble. And he's like, okay, well, you want to go that way? Well, let me give you this detail.
Yes, and I went back home, nails dragging the ground.
Oh, really?
Not for that. Yes, I don't want to go back home. I've already failed. I don't want to fail anymore. And I just thought it as a point of failure. So every time I looked at that baby face in my arms, it was, if not for that, God, like, look, you got to take care of this baby. It's not about you now. So
exactly.
I went, but it wasn't voluntarily.
Right. Kicking and screaming.
So glad. Yes.
And I think one of the main reasons why you and I gravitated toward each other, God kind of put us, I feel like we had a God connection at Cheryl's event. Because our journeys are very similar. I see a lot of me in you, and I think you see a lot of vice versa, you know. Our stories are very similar. And especially with how, with regards to how God revealed to you what your gifts are. So share with us a little bit about how he has been revealing them to you throughout your life.
Right. As far as writing is concerned, I go back to when I was about six or seven years old.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for the Barbie dolls, the toys. I asked for a typewriter for Christmas.
What
kid asked for a typewriter?
At six, right?
Right. And I saw it in a catalog, and I'm like, Mom, this is what I want for Christmas.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, Santa Mom made it happen. And I don't think they built that typewriter for the intent of someone actually sitting down typing on it. I wore it out.
Mm.
And I actually still have one of the first poems I wrote on that typewriter. It's like four pages, over 30 years old.
Oh, wow.
Of this poem I wrote. And I actually pulled it out the other night just to, mm-hmm. you know, I know I still have it. And I pulled it out, and the title of it was Where Am I Today? And if someone else told me, oh, my six-year-old wrote this poem, and if I read it, I would say, wow, your kid is, this is amazing.
Right.
Of course, it's me, so I'm like, did I write this? Really? Is this me? What's going on in my head?
I know, right, at six. You were deep at six.
Right, exactly. Too deep for my own good. But and in hindsight now, I see, wow, this actually started way before mm-hmm. I even realized it.
And
through the course of life, in school, I won some awards for writing, and I put it down. You know, of course, once you get to college, you're writing enough papers. You don't want to write anything
exactly.
for yourself.
Exactly. Lord knows I know.
Not until just recent years, especially with, you know, with things going not so good in life,
mm-hmm.
I realized writing was such an outlet for me, and I try not to live with regrets, but the one thing, if I could change anything, I would definitely would have tapped into my writing more during those valley periods in my life.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because God actually started revealing to me after my layoff my gift for writing, and it was almost like he took me through this flashback moment. And just to let you know, he took me back to the fourth grade, and I had an assignment, I can even remember the teacher's name. Her name was Mrs. Katz, and we had this poetry writing assignment, and we had to write these different types of poems or what have you, and I wrote, you know, this whole book of poems or whatever, and they were pretty good, and she was commending me on them and even telling my mom, you know, wow, your daughter really has a gift for writing, you know. And it was almost like he was showing me all the times that people complimented me on my writing throughout the years, even
yes.
up through high school and in college, you know, where I had a professor
yeah.
who actually gave me a standing ovation for a paper that I wrote in a business law class. I still didn't see it. I didn't
mm-hmm.
see that as a gift. Yeah. But it wasn't until I got laid off that he said, I've been trying to show you this is your gift. And it was I get it now, you know. Isn't that funny how that happens? Oh, my goodness.
The light bulb goes off. And it's exactly just like that. Same with me. No matter how many people, that's beautiful. Oh, that really touched
mm-hmm,
me. Oh,
mm-hmm,
you should
mm-hmm.
do this. And it's like, oh, okay. And keep walking. And
I
not
know,
until
right?
that, yeah, and not until that pivotal moment in your life where God is like, hey, I've been telling you this all along.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, you have. And it takes you back.
Yeah,
so, yes,
it takes you
same
back.
Thing here. Yeah.
That is so funny. And it's I always say that people oftentimes see in us what we don't see in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You
yes.
know, and it takes somebody else to tell you, you know, hey, you know, you really should pursue that. And it's like, eh. And then sometimes you still get in your own way, and then God will kind of wake you
mm-hmm.
up, you know, like, you know, we both had these aha moments, you know. But it was after,
yes.
oftentimes, we recognize the gift after something life-altering happened.
Yes, yes.
You know, and sometimes
exactly.
that's how God has to get our attention through some kind of turmoil or storm and say, you know what, they won't get it this way, so let me really get their attention with this. And, you know, I guess that's, like my mom used to always say, hard head makes a soft behind, you know.
All day, all day. Yes, mom was so right.
Oh, gosh, she was very right. How do you feel that your life would be different had you recognized these gifts a lot sooner than when you did?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of healing that I would have experienced well sooner if I had recognized my gift. And now that I would recognizing that now, if I'm having an odd moment, if I'm just kind of beside myself, I actually keep a little mini journal with me at all times. So that way I can just whip it out and just write. And lately I've actually, they've been like Dear God letters. I start off Dear God. And I get it off my, you know, I start out with the intention of I'm going to tell God all about it like he doesn't know already. and my,
right,
like, I know, kid. And what I've noticed lately is when I start writing, a little bit of the rant will pour out, but then it actually turns into this moment of gratitude. And I'm thanking God for, you know, thank you that this is happening to me. I know that it's for my benefit. And and then when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, I was supposed to be mad. I was supposed to be ranting at God so we can fix it.
Right, right.
And,
wow.
And, yes. And so now it's, you know, and the more I do it, the more I recognize his place in my writing and that he gave me the writing for a reason. So if I knew that, if I knew then what I know now, you know the old adage, if I knew
then what I know now, oh my goodness. Ooh, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Girl, that's, you open up a big can of worms with that one. Oh.
Yes,
that's another story for another day, another whole other show. Oh, my goodness. But I've heard you say throughout our conversation this evening about God speaking to you. So, you know, and tuning into his, being able to tune into his voice. So what have been some of the distractions that you feel have tried to interfere with you being able to tune into his voice?
Oh, wow. I think the biggest distraction, even if you make a laundry list of them, for me, it boils down to myself. Because I'm always trying to fix things and trying to do things right. I'm a perfect. We took a quiz in church this weekend about our personalities, and I am definitely a C personality. If anybody knows about that, C personality people are perfectionists.
That would have been
it was, what they used to describe that was these are people that measure twice and cut once. And I said, oh, that is so me. Yeah. I will take all day to make sure it's right. So I think I'm the biggest distraction because I want to do things that I think are right. I have no clue that they're right. I don't know what I'm doing, but I think I can make it happen. And once I put self aside, and especially when I let God in, it makes it so much easier. All the distraction, whether it's work, taking care of my son, my writing endeavors. If I get out of the way and let God in, everything falls in place.
Right.
And I'm learning right now.
that's definitely a daily thing for me. You got to learn how to get out of your own way every day. Oh, that's a good poem right there. Learn how to get out of your own way every day. But you know,
like me, I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I'm gonna write it down and come back to it
later.
I'm
gonna write
it
down, right? But
that's a writer,
you know,
for you.
Right, exactly. That's a good tweet right there. That's tweetable right there. but you know what? We are our own worst enemy. Seriously, I know that I can be my own worst enemy. And it wasn't until God started, you know, telling me, okay, you know what? Surrender it. Let me fix it. I don't need your help. I can do a better job of it. I don't need your extra help, you know?
Yes.
I have to come to that realization that he does not need my help. And once you take your hands off of it and give it totally and surrender it to him, then he can work.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Wow, that's funny. But you know what?
I've learned. Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I learned that God is a gentleman. God will not force
his
way in. And until we allow him and say, hey, come on, God, do your thing, he's going to stand back there and just wait for us to say something.
Mm.
And I have to remember that. Now I'm like, okay, as long as I'm in here, he can't come in. So, yeah.
That's good right there. I never thought about it that way. That's really good. He's going to be the consummate gentleman in all areas of your life. And you have to be the one to just kind of move aside and say, after you, you know?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know, why do you feel like it's so important for people in general to be able to tune in or to hear from God? And what are some of the consequences of not being able to do that?
Well, for me, and I've learned that if I'm feeling this way, probably someone else is too. For me, hearing God's voice, He knows everything. I know nothing. It would behoove me to listen to him and allow him to instruct me and direct me and guide me. And when we don't listen to God, when we don't do what he says, and let me tell you, this is, I feel like I have a mirror in front of my face reminding me now, like, forget you said this. But I learned that not listening to God is delayed obedience, and delayed obedience is disobedience. So when we don't listen to God, we're disobeying, whether we, you know, intentionally do it or not. So that's why it's so important. And for me personally, when I know, especially when I know better, if I know, you know, God doesn't want me to do that, or God put this on my heart, but I'm going to try this instead. Every single time without fail, this is going to get mucked up. It's going to get stuck. I'm going to say, oh, Lord, I need you now, and what's going on? And and then I'm begging for his help then. And it's like, well, if you listen to me the first time. So that delayed obedience, meaning disobedience. So it's just better to do it, and especially for the perfectionist, if you want to do it right the first time, listen to God.
Exactly. And that's so hard for us because, you know, we are oftentimes guided or led astray by our flesh and worldly desires. And, you know, it really takes an effort every day to be conscious of the choices that you make. And like you said, I love the way you put that. Delayed obedience is just plain, flat-out disobedience.
Yes.
You know, and so people think that it's okay. Well, maybe, you know, and I always say, I've said this before, and it was the comedian Woody Allen that actually said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, you know.
Yes.
I was like, that's so Woody Allen, you know. But,
so
you know, because he's like, you know, just follow my lead. I don't want to follow yours because I know where it's going to end up. But because of free will, he will allow us to make choices. But I find that oftentimes when we make those wrong decisions, it's a growing opportunity because then he'll put his finger on it and allow something to happen, you know, as a result of our making our own choices or decisions or what have you, to be disobedient, that we are going to grow. And that's what's been true for me. I've grown so much in those trying times. Not that I like them, but I've learned to embrace the lesson in them. Let's just say that.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And how can we grow if we don't go through those things? If we're already on top of the world, where are we going to go?
Right. Exactly. He wants us to elevate us, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, we just have to learn how to take our hands off of it, take a step back and say, okay, God, let your will be done.
Yes.
Let your will be done. But it's funny you mentioned the mirror because it wasn't until after I got laid off that I really started taking a good, hard, and long look at myself in the mirror and started taking responsibility for my own actions and stop placing the blame on other people. And that's hard to do, especially for my type of my personality. You know, I learned that being right is highly overrated, you know. And, yeah, I learned that from watching Joyce Meyer. She says that, you know, if you watch Joyce Meyer before, you've heard, you know how she delivers her words. She'll hit you over the head with it, but it's so good and on point. She said, you know, I just want to let you know being right is highly overrated. And that was a hard lesson for me, boy, I tell you the truth.
I could relate, and yes, it is hard.
Absolutely. But you know what? At this point in time, you know, we're close to the half hour, because this next question that I want to ask you is, I know, is going to be a big one, and I don't want to open that up before we take our break. So if you want to hang in there with me for a minute, we're going to pause. We're going to wind down and pause and take a short station break. And then when we return, we're going to continue with this great conversation. And if we have any callers, then we'll take calls. So if you hang in there for a minute with me, we'll be right back, okay?
I'm in. Great. Thank you.
Awesome. So at this time, we're going to pause and take a short station break. And as I stated, when we return, we'll continue with this great conversation and we'll take your calls. I'm Allie, your host, and I'm joined by my special guest, Melissa Kelsey, writer, blogger, and founder of MK Writer's Block. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff radio show, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
Hi, this is executive producer Mel D, and we thank you for tuning into today's show. Today's show would not be made possible without the support of our loyal sponsors. If you own a business, offer a service, or are a fan of the show, become a sponsor. Please go to our website at www.atlantaliferadio.com to the Advertise With Us page to view and download our new advertising kit. We offer new and affordable opportunities for you to become a part of our shows. And now we return back to our program.
All right, we are back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. And so we're going to continue with our awesome conversation with my special guest tonight, Melissa Kelsey. Now, before the break, we were talking about being able to tune in and hear from God, but I wanted to have you address something that you and I talked about when we first met, and that is how you shared with me about how you struggled with a fear of failure throughout your life. Where did this fear stem from, and how has it impacted your ability to move forward with pursuing your life purpose?
Well, yeah, that goes way back. And I think in a nutshell, just self-inflicted pressure. Just growing up, I was, you know, the good girl, did what mom and dad said, all A's. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, she's good. No one put pressure on me, but I assume, hey, I got to keep this standard up. And didn't allow opportunity for myself to make mistakes. So I tried not to make them.
Right.
And boy, when I started making them, really started making them, probably in started in college when noticeably, you know, of course, we're all human, going to make some mistakes throughout your life. But that's when I really encountered failure. Mm-hmm. I've never really dealt with it before. And it, and it hit like a brick. So anytime I faced that, you know, the possibility of it, I would just freeze up. And then, of course, because I didn't know any better, I try to correct something that hadn't even, you know, there's nothing wrong with it even yet. And, of course, there's that, you know, not listening to God, not doing what, you know, better to do, trying to fix things yourself. So it just perpetuated that fear and perpetuated the, I'm going to say opportunity for failure, because I now embrace it. But before, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I've failed, and I worry about what other people think. And and I think that factor too, because I'm the go-to sometimes. People are like, hey, Melissa, I need this, I need that. And if I can't be the go-to, what are people going to do, and what are they going to think? So just that self-inflicted pressure, that just undue stress that wasn't necessary.
Wow. And you know what? That's funny that you just kind of sparked a memory for me. I grew up what I would describe as a people pleaser. And that, I would describe myself as that, because as a child, I would have to say, for lack of a better way of describing it, I felt like when I look back on hindsight, I was bullied. And mainly because of the way I looked. I was a light-skinned girl with long hair, and, you know, so the girls were like, oh, you think you're cute because you got this and that. And I'm like, what? The way I was born, you know. No, you know, I started saying to them, you think I think I'm cute. I never said that, you know. I'm like, that's your own hang-up, you know.
Yeah.
It caused me to have low self-esteem. I wasn't comfortable in my skin because they made me feel ashamed of the way I looked. And you know, it was crazy, but as a child, you don't understand that, you know.
Yeah.
And so I grew up trying to make people like me, and for all the wrong reasons, you know. And it wasn't until I got older that I learned how to set boundaries and stop trying to please the wrong people for the wrong reasons.
Yes, yes. That's why we get along so well, Allie, because I same here, because with that pressure I put on myself.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I guess I'll need to admit I was bullied, because people picked on me for no reason. I didn't bother anybody. I was too shy and too nerdy to do anything. But I felt like, gosh, why don't, you know, always ask myself, why don't they like me? I'm trying to do all the right things. I'm trying to help people, and it just never was enough. And my own added pressure didn't help. So definitely it low self-esteem, just always trying to be a light or to shine in someone else's eye. And I didn't even recognize or care about myself enough to say, hey, you've got some good in you. You don't, you know, recognize it. So,
It was, you know, once that I got that epiphany, it was like, oh, my gosh, I was bullied as a child. And, like, back then when, you know, when I was, you know, growing up, it wasn't really a big issue like it is today. People really didn't talk about it, and it's not like I really even talked about it with my family, you know. And it made me feel bad even as an adult, because then when I thought back on it, you know, I was ashamed. And so it made me feel ashamed of other people that really had nothing to do with anything that was going on. But, you know, like I said, as a child, you don't understand these things, you know.
Right.
So I really had to go to God and, you know, ask for forgiveness and, you know, just really start looking at myself in a different light. That was the beginning of realizing who and whose I was as a child of God.
Yes, yes.
That was when I was delivered from those feelings of shame and, you know, feeling bad about who I was, you know, because I started realizing what he thought about me was the most important thing in this world.
Yes. And for me, and this has happened actually in more recent years, and I'm still learning the lesson of self-love. I felt like it was bad to, or you shouldn't love yourself. That's vain. That's, you know, conceited. But God says in his word, it's okay. Love your neighbor as thyself. You've got to love yourself before you can love anyone else.
That's
and
right.
Until that was, until that scripture was presented to me in that light, I said, wow, it's okay for me to like me, look in the mirror and say I'm pretty. You know,
exactly.
And how many times have we heard that script?
Right. Not really understood what it was saying.
Right, right. So, again, that voice and whoever presented that to me or wherever I heard that scripture in that light, I thank you. I thank God for you because still beating myself up and just not experiencing that self-love. And of course, now it's still an ongoing process. But now I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you that it's okay for me to care about and love myself because if I don't care about me, who is? And
exactly.
How can I share that love with someone else if I don't know how to? It all starts within. So.
Right. And you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that because it wasn't until I actually enjoyed spending time alone with myself that God presented me with my husband. Because, as young women, when you're growing up and everything, nobody wants to be alone. You want a boyfriend, husband, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But God finally showed me that I can enjoy being with myself, you know, and not looking for someone else to make me feel fulfilled. You know, once I enjoyed my own company, I was able to meet my husband because then he said, okay, now you love yourself. You love yourself enough. I would go to the movies by myself. I would go out to dinner by myself. And who does that, a young girl, you know, in the mid-20s? You know, people looking at you, and I'm like, I would get a good book, go to the restaurant, go to the movies. I didn't care. And then at that point in time, he said, okay, now she's ready to meet somebody. She loves herself. So let me introduce her to somebody else, you know.
Yes. Thank you for keeping the hope alive because I'm at that point. I'll go eat by myself anytime. I love to eat, so nothing's gonna stop me from eating a great meal. but like going to the movies or going somewhere by myself, I'm still trying to overcome that hesitant, you know, part of me that's like, I don't want to go by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's part of that still, you know, being comfortable with myself and enjoying my own company and being confident. It's all a growing process. And so thank you for that tip that tidbit. I like, okay, Lord, once I start getting the hang of this, then you're going to interrupt the flow. Okay, good.
I know.
It's not a comedy.
Seriously, I promise you that's exactly what happened. He said, you know what, now I can introduce her to who I have for her. It was nothing for me to just, I'm going to the movies. Somebody would ask me, well, who you going? Myself. Who are you going out to eat? Myself. You know? It was no problem. I didn't care, you know? And, I guess you could say the rest is history.
There you go.
But, you know, Mel D has informed me that we have a caller. So, hello, you are on the air with Allie and Melissa. What is your question or your comment?
Good afternoon, ladies, or good evening, ladies. This is Char with Changing Faces Makeup Artistry.
Hey, Char.
Hey there. You know what? Alicia, you know you're my favorite person, and this is one of my favorite radio shows to listen to you talk to our esteemed guest, Melissa.
Yes.
I'm in love with you already. You're... You know,
and
writing is so therapeutic for me. You know, I've been writing for a long time, and just to hear you talk about your writing endeavors and your fear of failure, and I think a lot of the times, you know, we do that to ourselves. We have this fear that we're going to let somebody down, and we're not listening to God. We're being disobedient, as you were saying earlier. and we self-inflict ourselves to stop doing what we were purposed to do. Mm-hmm. I am so grateful for you. I see that you've got your blog up and you're doing your live videos on a daily basis, it seems, and I really got to get on board with you because I'm about to, you know, get my book published. God just revealed my my due date, you know, because we're all pregnant with promise. So he gave me my due date on when my book will be published. And, of course, Allie is about to drop her book, and, you know, you're doing your thing. So, oh, my God, this radio show right now, I could talk to you guys for several hours upon on this whole topic of writing, because I've been writing for the past 15 years and these books have been sitting inside of me for so long, and it's just time. It's just time to let the world hear our story. And again, writing is therapeutic for me, and I do, just like you do, Melissa, I have a Dear God journal when I decided to ask God to deliver me from smoking, and I promised him that I would write a Dear God letter every day for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I have this several journals with my Dear God letters that will probably, you know, be formed into a book. But what it does for me and what it has done for me is allowed me to get closer to God and has allowed me to be by myself and be okay with being by myself so I could hear from him more. Mm-hmm. And as writers, and I know you both know, girl, this my whole notebook right now, I've just been jotting down stuff. I said, oh, I could write about this. I could write about that. Because as writers and poets, that's what we do. We hear something and it strikes a chord with us, and we got to write it down. And if we don't write it down, trust me, we will forget it.
Yeah.
But I just thank God for you both, and I wish you much success with your writer's blog. And, you know, I'm just happy to hear you and hear your endeavors and what you're doing and what God is doing for you.
Oh, Shar, thank you so, so much. That means a lot to me. And this feedback or encouragement or comments like that, that I feel like it's God's way of saying, hey, I told you, keep doing it.
Oh, my God, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's something that in the writer's block I constantly share is God has gifted us with this writing. There's someone out there that needs to hear it, even if that someone is yourself. You need to have some record to go back to when you need to be reminded of what God has done for you, whether it's entertaining you or, you know, reminding you, hey, this was a sad, you know, diary entry or whatever, journal entry I wrote, but look at where you've come from that. So
It's your testimony.
Absolutely.
It's your life testimony. You're welcome. And I'm just going to leave you guys with this. When I was writing yesterday on Facebook about, you know, piecing my book together, God gave me this little passage. It said, he said clearly to me, I have given you the evolution. You are already evolving to where I want you to be. Mm-hmm. And when he gives you your evolution, you're going to get in a place of revolution. And when you get in that place of revolution and you continue to, you know, fight with yourself and about what it is you're supposed to be doing, he's going to give you revelation. And, you know, he's going to reveal to you that, wow, this is your moment. This is your moment. You do what I have asked you to do all along and not be afraid, because I got you. So just remember that evolution, revolution to revelation.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Shar.
You're welcome.
I'm
enjoying the show,
you
guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
You guys have a good night.
You too. That was awesome.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
She opened.
I had to write that one down.
Absolutely, absolutely. She always has. She's a fan of the show, so she always has some great things and comments and affirmations and confirmations and, you know, for our guests and everything. So I thank God for her. I want that leads us to me wanting you to talk about the MK Writer's Block. Let's talk about that and what that's all about and who can be a part of that, because it's a very powerful group. So let's talk about that.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, I'll start with the name of the group, MK Writer's Block, because you think about Writer's Block, it's like, who wants to be a part of something that's That's the problem. We don't want to be a part of the problem. No, it's not the problem. Block has different, of course, meanings and connotations. Of course,
right.
The writer's block, the obstacles that we face as writers.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also a community. I think of it like a city block, like
okay.
the people that are on your block, your friends, your family, your neighbors.
Right.
And that's what we are, is that community. And we overcome those obstacles, those blocks, so that we can make an impact with our writing. Again, it all starts with ourselves. And I tell people all the time, as far as who can be a part of it, beginning of the show, I said, if you can put a pen in your hand, if you can open up a keyboard and put your fingers on it and express, transform those thoughts into words, you're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take off the label of, I'm not famous, I don't have a published book, I don't have That's not what a writer is. Now, that's what an author might be.
Right.
That's what a blogger might be. But a writer is someone who can transform those thoughts and those emotions and those feelings into written words so that someone else or yourself can read them. So anyone who can do that is a writer, and you're welcome. Welcome to the writer's block. I call it the block party is what I call it.
That's good. Everybody loves a good block party, too.
Yes.
Wow. What do you hope to accomplish with the group, though?
I'll tell you this. I'm going on a journey along with everyone else in the group.
Okay.
And my goal is to show others that there's in them a gift. God has given you the gift of writing.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone has that gift. But some are exceptionally blessed with it. Just like everyone can sing.
Yeah.
There's just some people that are exceptional with it.
Right.
Am I
going to
stop someone from singing if they can't sing? No. But if you are exceptional with it, you have an obligation to share that talent. I feel the same way about writing because God has gifted this to you.
Mm-hmm.
And how selfish of us is if God gives us something so precious that we do not appreciate it and share it and utilize it.
Right.
So my goal and my aim is for those who even have a remote desire to write to explore that gift, because you don't know where it can take you in your personal journey and someone else's journey if you decide to share it. So that is the aim of the group, is to recognize that you have a gift and to use it and to make an impact and overcome whatever is stopping us from operating and using that gift.
Wow, that's good advice, really good advice. So if someone wants to be a part of the group or participate in the group, how can they do that?
Our main, the block party normally meets in our Facebook group. If you go to Facebook or if you're on Facebook, just search MK Writer's Block, no punctuation. You'll see our little icon, the big MK. Just ask to join the group. It's a closed group because in writing, there's a bit of shyness in sharing our gifts and talents or expressing ourselves. So it's a closed group. It's a safe haven to do that. So that's where we mainly meet. Also, if you're not into Facebook or social media, we do have our website, mkwritersblock.com.
Okay.
Every week we take on a block of the week or an obstacle each week, and we post a blog summarizing that topic. If you're not in the Facebook group, you can also, you know, take a look at the summary or the blog that corresponds to that. And, of course, always can make, you know, leave your comment or question. I'm very responsive, probably too responsive. I'm like, come on, talk to me. Who needs it?
Right.
You can always comment on the blog and anytime by email at info.mkwritersblock.com. You say, if there's anything you're interested in or just, you know, hey, I missed that. What, you know, how do I join the group? info.mkwritersblock@gmail.com is the email address.
Okay. Don't you have an upcoming event that you want to tell us about, I believe?
Yes. Our first event, we are having a writer's workshop. It is called Fall in Love with Writing.
Oh, that's great.
It is, and of course, fall, because it's my favorite time of the year. I love fall. And what better time to cozy up with a journal, cozy up with your laptop, and start writing. But, you know, how do you start? So that's mm-hmm. what we're going to do at the workshop. It is on Saturday, November 12th, at the Little Five Points Community Center in Five Points. Information for that is on mkwritersblock.com/workshop. You can register for the event there. And if you're not local to the Atlanta area, good news, we also are having an online webinar on Sunday at 6 p.m. the following day. So,
oh, awesome. So there's no excuse to participate. You can be
no,
in person or online.
Exactly. And I would love to see people. I'm as much of an introvert as I am, I love people. I'm a people person. I'm weird like that.
No, you're
so
not.
I embrace that. But I would love for you guys to come out on November 12th. If you can't come out, connect with me online. Also online, if you've never experienced the block party, we have live Facebook and Periscope Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 7 p.m. So if you want to kind of get a taste of what the party is all about, that's your chance. All of my social media is MK Writer's Block. So even if you Google it, you're, oh, I think that's what Melissa, yeah, that's me. That's
okay.
Right. So go to
awesome.
It and check it out.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. You know what? This has been awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So as, you know, we get ready to close out another powerful episode, I want to say thank you, Melissa, for joining me tonight, and thank you for your commitment towards helping others to push past the fear in their lives and helping others to find and share their writing gifts with the world. So thank you so much for your commitment to doing that.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity to share it, and thank God for using me and allowing me to do that. I jokingly say, I don't know what God's doing, but I'm just going to go ahead and listen to him this time.
Right?
And boy, has he been showing and proving. So thank
wow.
you, God, for this. And thank you, Allie. Thank you for – I'm so glad we crossed paths. It's
yes.
been such a blessing. Such
thank
a blessing.
You so much. And anytime you have any events, just let me know, and I'll be more than happy to share them with
thank
our
you.
Listeners.
Thank you.
All
thank
right.
you. I appreciate that. Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Now, as I'm accustomed to doing, I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. One of the major points of our conversation tonight is that we focus on being able to hear from God or being able to tune into his voice in our lives with regards to our gifts. This, you know, has been an important part of my journey and actually where it all began for me, because that's when I heard God speak peace into me while I was being laid off. And listening to God's voice led me to a very important scripture that has been the foundation and building block that I continue to stand on throughout my journey of walking in my God-ordained purpose, and which is to inspire others who have been laid off or are affected by some other life-altering event, or people who are unfulfilled or stagnant in their careers or jobs. And, you know, I have referenced this scripture many, many times, and I feel that it's worth repeating because it's so powerful. And that scripture, of course, is Jeremiah 29:11, which reads, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." In order for God to let us know about the plans that he has for us, we must fellowship and communicate with him. This is also how we develop and grow in relationship with God. You know, he talks, we listen. We talk, he listens. He wants us to be fulfilled, blessed, and successful in the plan that he has established for our lives so that we can be a reflection of his love and a blessing here on earth. So go ahead. My challenge for you is to take a look at that scripture and really break it down and study it and understand and trust the plans that God has for your lives. So next week, please tune in for the continuation of our Entrepreneur Spotlight series with my special guest co-host Sean Thomas and my special guest Yahira Lopez, who is the founder of Autism Sprinter Incorporated, a nonprofit organization founded to empower and enrich the lives of families with loved ones on the autism spectrum. It is definitely a show that you don't want to miss. But just in case you do miss the live show, there are several ways that you can catch up on what you've missed. First, you can always access all of our past recorded shows on the automatic player box, which is located on the homepage on the AtlantaLifeRadio.com website. And then for those of you who are on the go, we're also on iTunes, and we're also on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable mobile app. You can find us both on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Atlanta Life Radio. And so those are some of the convenient ways that we make it possible for you to tune into all the great programming that Atlanta Life Radio, WALR, now offers. And in addition to catching up, please remember to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. You can also connect and follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at AllieWard45, and on Pinterest you'll find me at AllieWard65. And please remember to like us on Facebook by searching for There Is Life After Layoff on Facebook, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found on Facebook at Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff Radio team, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. Until next time, once again, thank you for joining, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Known has come from you alone.